This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa!
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is Wednesday. That means game planning in effect. We flip the script. We're moving on. We forget about what happened on Sunday at Minnesota, Mike, and get ready for the Eagles. You missed Alex Mack, by the way. He joined us talking about things in regards to this game. And you know, guys, I don't think it's any secret. As Alex said, he's the key offensive line. We had some moments that we probably should have been able to do something with the football, but we couldn't hang on to it. So he said paying attention to the details this week, and I think that's a big part of it, Mike, because, again, that's the discipline we get back to. That attention to detail may be the difference in this game against Philadelphia.
And you heard the phrase, putting out the fire. Keanu Neal saying that, and Jeff Ulbrich, linebacking coach. So that was one of those. Look, I mean, as long as the guys are buying in, if Quinn was out there going, all right, man, gonna put out the fire. Okay, whenever you guys gotta, you know, do to motivate and get rocking and rolling. Look, Alex Mack talked about it. Everybody wants to unravel the mystery. We screwed up so bad in the first couple possessions, it was you couldn't get back in that game because it's a really good defense. Remember that guy I told you about it yesterday, Carl? So we play a good defense, we go do nothing. Well, no, sir, but if you're in a visiting team's stadium,
why'd your head turn sideways?
I remember when you guys get snarky with me, I always look at your profile. I read your stuff. I know where you're coming from. I know who the guy is, Carl, who's going to be talking about tax rates and making America great. And I know the guy who's quoting lines from NWA. I read your bios. I know exactly where you people are coming from. So I know, Carl. Yes, I do know. But the one guy that was like, yeah, so we're never going to do well against. No, you fumbled. You had a blocked punt. Matt threw two terrible picks. You dug yourself such a hole you couldn't get out. I mean, it's not that complicated. Now, they did run all over us. We also heard from Jeff Ulbrich, the linebacker coach, today when the media was up there, that he talked to a guy in Minnesota.
Yeah, but that's the
running. And the guy said that Dalvin Cook didn't go in the holes he was supposed to. Well, whatever he did, he made us look like a bunch of idiots.
He did. I mean, you've got to adjust to those things. But putting out the fire, that phrase, comes from them running the ball all over us. Here's the deal. The fire's been lit because now you got the Eagles going, woo-wee! We can run the ball all over these guys. Well, the Falcons need to come out Sunday night and show that that's not going to happen. That's the whole put out the fire phrase. Because once the fire starts, then Indianapolis comes week three and they go, we can
Mack,
run the ball.
And then there's another team that's got two running backs who can do it. You're going to see Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders. They did our old nemesis from the Saints, even Darren Sproles, had some carries last week in their win against the Redskins. They went over 100 yards, combined effort, but Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, they're still trying to see who's going to be the first amongst equals in that backfield.
Then Tennessee comes in. Whoa!
And then it's Derrick Henry. And again, the other guys can catch the ball out of the backfield.
So Jeff Ulbrich, who was our linebackers coach, here's what he said about it.
Made some adjustments schematically. Technically, we got to play better. We got to coach better. We got to play. It's a collective issue that we got to fix. Fortunately, we have a culture that's right, man, that every man in that building, coach and player alike, has pointed the finger at themselves, and we're back to work.
Okay. So we got to stop the run. That's a big part of this. Here's the other thing, and it is our Falcon Report, guys. It's brought to you each and every day by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, great deals going on every day of the week, including that large three-topping pizza for just $7.99. Go to Domino's.com when you carry out, and you'll find out everything that you can do, including the mix and match for $5.99 with all the great apps, including $5.99 medium-topping pizzas. Domino's.com for all the details.
This is a physical offensive line. And again, I don't know as the season plays on, because we just talked about how our schedule plays out. Indianapolis has a really good offensive line too. It's down the road. Tennessee's running the ball well. I don't know if we'll see a better offensive line than what you're going to see on Sunday. And the thing, Mike, is you mentioned this. Jordan Howard, one of the running backs, Mike Sanders is the other running back. They were both great in week one, and they're going to do it by committee, but it starts up front. The lanes these guys had to run in, you could have drove a Mack truck through. The task for Grady and Tyler Davidson this week is going to be tough because they double-team guys, Mike. They push guys around, and they're physical. And, you know, you talk about everybody knows who Jason Peters is, their left tackle, who's been around the league and is an all-pro.
And he was the guy that went out the year 2016. They go to the Super Bowl, and they were able to plug in another guy and do that. I mean, that's what depth's about. That's why we feel we've got depth this year to deal with the Lindstrom issue.
But Brandon Brooks on the right side, Lane Johnson, who's been around.
Yeah.
But Isaac Seumalo, he is a beast. And I'm just telling you right now, they're going to come out and do exactly what Jeff Ulbrich talked about, trying to establish the run and get things going, because they're like, if Minnesota can do that, we can do that. We're going to push these guys around. This is going to be one up front. And it sounds simplistic because we talk about it every week, Mike. But if they're able to establish that, here comes Carson Wentz on all this misdirection stuff, RPO, bootlegs, and all of a sudden, you're looking in the backfield. Guess who's running down the field? DeSean Jackson. That's what's going to happen. So yeah. Stopping the run is key on Sunday. And it's hard because you just saw us not do it. And Philly's going, okay, they're licking their chops.
And Doug Peterson, the coach of the Eagles, he did the big media scrum with Atlanta media and talked about that, look, everything we talked about today with Alex Mack. You get down, you're not able to do the things that you want to do. He talked about we're a much better team than that. Talked about being prepared for everything from Mohamed Sanu and the wild snoo to obviously watching out for Julio, because they know the matchups. We've been playing these guys. Now, granted, it is Dirk Cutter. I brought this up last hour. They've seen a heavy dose of Sarkisian in the last 2 years.
Mm.
But what is Dirk Cutter going to do to put guys in position to win? Can we get the run game going? Big time. You talked about the O-line, Fletcher Cox. I mean, they've got a lot of meat on that D-line. Those guys are going to make it hard for us to run the ball. Remember the playoff game, Carl, where it was actually Tevin Coleman who actually got the momentum going down the stretch? We go down the field, and then we find it. We kind of forget about him. That was on Sarkisian. I can't imagine Dirk Cutter's going to do that if Ito Smith, for instance, is having a better day than Free. Let's hope that Free gets some traction, because he looked like he was spinning his wheels last week.
Here is more with Jeff Ulbrich, who is our linebackers coach, talking about the challenges the Eagles present, at least on the offensive side.
It's a challenge for sure, especially when you have a quarterback that he's the third element. You know, you have run, pass, and then you have the ability to scramble as a quarterback. So, yeah, Wentz is a challenge in that way. The Eagles are a challenge in that way.
Yeah, I think, Mike, that when you talk about Carson Wentz, I said this to you earlier today, he, at least after week one, looked like the Carson Wentz of 2017, which a lot of people thought he should have won the MVP. He was patient. He escaped pressure. He was looking downfield. He was not looking to run. He was throwing passes that you go, oh, is he going to – and he put it right on the money. So, you know, again, is he in full rhythm? Is he playing like he did a couple of years ago? I don't know. But I will tell you this. He didn't make many mistakes last week.
But this is why when we drafted Vic Beasley out of Clemson back in 15, this was a dude who's supposed to be able, with his speed, because he's not the biggest size-wise guy, I mean, to get the quarterback on the ground. Do that. I'll be happy to get the tattoo on my butt if this guy can actually help us win some games and get back in the playoffs. But this is why he's here. Tack has leaned up a little bit, but Tack is more of the, you know, more of a bull rush guy. You know, you've seen Tack do his thing. Both those guys. And whatever alignment we're doing, if we're going to do this, which I can't stand this 3-4, whatever this thing is, using the extra D tackles. But anyway, Vic should be a guy, Carl, that should be able to use his speed and get in there and break that stuff up. But so far he hasn't shown the ability to do that.
No, he really hasn't.
Other than great, now again, count on Grady and Tyler Davidson up the middle.
They play
the
great.
And disrupt.
They played great last week, but I think this is going to be a tougher week for both of those guys. And I'm going to tell you, then up for the task. Grady always brings his game. I'm pleasantly surprised at how well Tyler has played for us, but this is going to be a tough task. Let's hear from Matt Ryan, our quarterback. He spoke to the media today, Mike, about the Eagles' front four, those guys you're talking about.
They've got good interior players, good front four across the board and depth in the front four, and they rotate well. We've got to play well. Interior, we've got to play very well and handle some of the stuff that they do up front.
Now, if you take the you know, the run game, you get that on track, it opens up all the things we want to do, the play action, all those things we talked about during preseason. You know, with all the weapons we've got, I mean, you know, Hooper, and we talked about the receiving core. I mean, you guys know these guys. But it all starts with you can run the ball, which we just haven't been able to do last year. And now to start this season, that's why, as you said on Monday, that hangover's got everybody in their bag. Meanwhile, we do have some guys that are banged up. You got Russell Gage coming off the concussion protocol, so you might not see him. So it's Amadei Zaccheaus, the guy that we saw burner from Virginia in the preseason. He's got a chance, according to our buddies. Jarvis was up there at practice today, so Jarvis Davis, follow him, guys, and see what's going on. But he'll get a shot to maybe be in the mix at wide receiver because he is a burner, and he did show the ability to make the big play.
Yeah, we were talking about whether he would make the team or not, and he does, and he has some potential. He might be a decoy, but he's also a guy that, you know, you could run down the field, Mike, stretch the field a little bit if you wanted to with Alameda Zaccheaus.
And the injuries, by the way, in case you're wondering what's going on up in Philly, Fletcher Cox has got a toe injury, Derek Barnett with a shoulder, Nate Sudfeld with a wrist, all listed as limited in practice. But it's Wednesday. If they're, you know, not doing everything Thursday, that's a different story.
Yeah, Derek Barnett, that's another guy on that D-line.
Right.
Here is Matt Ryan, guys, talking about, he was asked this question, and it's a fair one, about preparation going into week one. Was that the issue, and what about this week?
I thought we were well prepared going into it. We just we didn't play well, and sometimes that happens. And, you know, in this league, you know, I've been around for a long time. When that happens, you got to, you know, flush it out of your system, get back to work, and have the confidence and belief that, you know, better performance is in front of you the next week. And, you know, that's kind of the way I feel now.
Let's hope so. Malcolm Jenkins, that is, Mike, is their strong safety. Can we take advantage of their secondary? Again, guys, you go back and look at these games, and we'll break it down a little bit more tomorrow. In the games we've played them in the past, we've been in position to win. We just haven't been able to pull it off. Here's what Matt Ryan had to say about their secondary and Malcolm Jenkins.
Malcolm's a great player, has been for a long time, played against him seemingly, you know, forever. He's physical, he's very smart, he's very instinctive. They move him around quite a bit into different spots, different positions. You mentioned him playing tight ends and running backs and man coverage. He does a nice job with that. When they ask him to pressure, he does a great job with that too. So certainly a guy that we have to be aware of where he's at, and a good football player for them.
Look, they got guys that make plays. That's how they won the Super Bowl. That's how they beat us in their, you know, in their house. We know that we've come up short in the red zone. So let's. I hope we don't have to deal with talking about that on Monday. Let's hope that that's not an issue and we just win this one going away. One thing for certain, guys, with the Falcons, you got a lot of meat on the line. If you missed our conversation with Alex Mack, that'll be online. We'll probably play it for you later in the week, maybe Friday. But Alex, I asked him about James Carpenter and Jamon Brown. He says, yeah, man, that is a lot of meat. So you're talking about, like, basically, 2 tons of fun, Carl, going up against what the Eagles are bringing at you. Then on the other side of it, you know, their linebackers are still, again, they're playmakers too. But what about, you know, what about that X-Factor guy? You know, who's it going to be? You know, I'd love to see Free because, again, all the doubters on Free just got right back on killing Freeman after last week. I'd love to see Free be the guy to, you know, get out in the open field. We haven't seen him basically be able to get out there and show what he can do. Seems like a distant memory going back to 15 and 16.
Yeah, some guys are asking me, did Free put on too much muscle this offseason?
I mean, the gun show is definitely popping.
No doubt. As he worked out and worked his way back, and listen, I think it's a valid point. Does that mean, or is that a function of him not having the explosion that we've seen in the past? I don't know yet. But I do think that's valid. As guys have said, did he put on too much weight? And when again, it's muscle. It's not fat. Obviously, Free's in great shape. But I'm curious to see if I see the burst this week. And that's the thing that I'm looking for from Free is the burst, Mike.
All right. Alshon Jeffrey, Aguilar, we've talked about. And now you mentioned earlier in the segment, man. Boy, you know, he looks like the DeSean Jackson when he was first a Philadelphia Eagle before he got run out of Philly. You know, those explosive plays. Do you worry about Isaiah Oliver? Again, he was burned up in Minnesota.
Of course I do. There are two guys that I think that I will target for this game that we'll talk about as we move along through the week, but he's certainly one of them. Hey, a quick reminder, though, Falcon fans, Dan Quinn said this today, and he's right. He's expecting us to have a home field advantage this week. He said, listen, we know what it's like. We were on the road last week in Minnesota. We experienced it. The Falcons have also, and I'm talking about the organization, said, come early, man. Be there early. It's Sunday Night Football. You got all day to tailgate. And the cool thing is they're going to have a special card with a cell phone light filter in your seat cup holder when you get to Mercedes-Benz if you're going to the game. And you put that over your flashlight, as Mike said, right before kickoff, a sea of red. It's going to be cool, but they're trying to get everybody there on time, man, so we can kick this thing.
And then hold on to it, Carl. And if your lights go out on your boat, you've got navigational lights on Lake Lanier. Again, guys, get your butt in the seat. Meet on time for once, Atlanta. Dan, we'll be late for our own funeral in this town.
Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to. The Antonio Brown saga. Also, our brave, as the magic number continues to dwindle. But a quick reminder, Rockin' Jock Celebration. It's going on our big bowling tournament. If you've not heard about this, it's really cool, guys. I want you to go to our events page at 929thegame.com. We're also going to be out at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. It's Wednesday, September 25th from 4 to 7. A bunch of folks will be out there, but it's our Rockin' Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. We'll be telling you more about it here on 929 The Game. Hey, man. Good to have you listening. Hey, the Atlanta Hawks season tips off next month, and now's your chance to get tickets before they go on sale to the public. Get your tickets by visiting hawks.com/presale. Interesting, busy day, Mike. We're going to get to our strong arm story of the day coming up, and it includes, I think, something that everybody's kind of scratching their heads about and wondering what to make of it, to be quite honest with you. If you're just joining us, Alex Mack joined the show last hour, our center for our Atlanta Falcons, talking about the Eagles, but also the mistakes that were made in the Minnesota game and how much better we've got to play if we're going to be in this game on Sunday. This is not a team, as much as we talk about our offense, and again, I don't think we got a chance to see how potent our offense can be, but Mike, they have a very potent offense as well. I was talking to Bo about this, and these have been, at least these last three matchups, low-scoring games. They really have with the Eagles.
Well, that's what drove me so crazy, guys. Go back and look at look what the Eagles did against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and look what the Falcons did to two of the highest-flying offenses in the playoffs in 2017. We beat the Rams in their house. And granted, that was Sean McVay and Goff's first playoff foray.
But they were leading the league in scoring.
Right, but we shut them down totally, and then we shut down the Eagles. If you go back and look, I think it was altogether like 25 points those teams scored against us in those two games. It's unbelievable. Unfortunately, we had Sarkisian, and our red zone was even more impotent. You know what I mean? It was just good word for it.
It was.
It was just absolutely lame. So we know what we're capable of. I know some guys are already, and I get it. Carl and I touched on this Monday, all the same vibes about, Dirk Cutter this and Dirk Cutter that. Once you're down and you're in a hostile environment, everything goes out the window. Alex Mack wasn't making excuses. He's just telling it like it is. And they were able to grind out two touchdowns late to make it, put a silk hat on a pig. But, we all know what that game was. We got smoked. Dan Quinn and the guys are going to put out the fire.
Put the fire out.
So you can't let them get the run game going because everything, it's just like any team, but the Eagles more specifically, you touched on it. They can do everything with the RPO off the run and get us chasing our tail if we're not more careful.
All right, man. We'll be talking plenty more about it over the next few days, breaking it down for you guys, giving you keys and all of that. It is Dukes and Bell. Find us on social media, guys. 929 The Game. That's our radio station. Follow us, Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. That's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Bo and I are just talking about it. The final games that year, if you go back and look what we did, we held the Rams to what? How many points, Bo?
We held Todd Gurley in check, is what I remember that game.
We held the Eagles to 15 points. All right, so 13 we held the Rams to, and 15. And that defensive coordinator's compass got off last year. Sounded pretty good in 17 when the guys were healthy.
That's the defense we need to have back. Seriously.
That's Marquand Manuel, for those that aren't catching my drift. Yeah. But that was a year that Sarkisian, unfortunately, this is the ultimate irony of the Falcons. 16 offense blows doors, 17 defense blows doors, if we ever get them on the same page. And that's what we thought we were going to start this season doing in Minnesota. Not yet.
Let's get to the strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
What was your first thoughts when you heard about the Antonio Brown alleged situation last night? No criminal charges, guys, were filed. Okay, that doesn't mean a crime didn't happen or wasn't committed. But, Mike, when you have allegations like this looming from Brittany Taylor that she was sexually assaulted, basically, by Antonio Brown. She's a former trainer of his. If you're not familiar with the story, this happened 2017, 2018. What did you think, man?
Well, the first thing I thought was immediately everyone's going to rush to judgment on this, but this is not a criminal charge. This is a civil lawsuit. She's alleging that three times things that shouldn't have happened happened. Now, immediately people start to say, well, why'd she stay working for him? That's still not an argument. No means no, and we'll try to figure out the timeline and just the nature of their relationship. But for Antonio Brown, an offseason that couldn't get any weirder just got weirder. Tom Brady was just asked about it up in Boston. You know what he said? Things that don't involve me don't involve me. And Bill Belichick was asked, and he said, look, league's going to investigate. We got nothing to say. The league will talk to this young woman. They'll interview her attorney. Eventually, I presume they're going to get to Antonio Brown. He looks like his defense is, yes, he had relations with this woman. They're not denying it. There's some really awful emails that have gone public via Twitter that are out there, and you can look at it and judge for yourself. I just think a lot of people are so happy to see the Patriots go down in flames, or you don't like Antonio Brown. Our position has still been, Carl, you and I, still America, man. This is not a criminal proceeding, although The Allegheny County DA up in Pittsburgh says he's going to take a look at this, too, and that's where he could really find himself in trouble, and then the commissioner would get him on that exempt list.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was the first thing I thought about last night is, does he immediately go there? And then I heard my buddy Adam Schefter talk about it, and that is rushing the judgment. You do that, though, to keep the distraction down, and he's not playing for you, but while you're figuring things out and the investigation is going on. But we're not there yet. So the NFL knew nothing about this. How much of this, and it gets back to something I started the show with today, because I know guys, and I'm talking to our fellas right now, we all do this. When we hear these stories, we immediately go, why'd she wait?
It's a money grab. That's I got to admit, hands up, guilty. When I first saw this, it sounded like a money grab.
Why did she wait? What's the, you know, if you get sexually assaulted or you're taken advantage of, why is she waiting? And I said this earlier, and I'll repeat it. I just think, guys, and you, for men and women who've been in relationships, you guys know this. You've been good and bad. Some you stayed. Your friends looked at you like you were crazy and wondered why you did. I don't know what the situation was between her and Antonio Brown or why she decided to stay. But at the end of the day, that doesn't discount or take away from the fact that this probably or could have still happened. And I don't know if there was a crime committed because Mike said it. I don't know what the relationship was like. But to just assume, well, man, it's got to be this because she stayed, I think that's a little naive because people stay in situations. Maybe she cared about him. Maybe she didn't want to hurt him. I don't know.
Now, again, this is where it gets a little fuzzy. The three-ring circus, it is the life of Antonio Brown. According to his attorneys, they're kind of intimating that his wife was aware of this connection. They knew each other from their time at, I guess, what, Western Michigan, where they went to college together. She was a gymnast there, and he played football. And eventually things soured, and whatever the business-slash-personal relationship was, either way, NFL's on it. And as I mentioned earlier, Nancy Armour had a funny comment in USA Today. She said, it's supposed to be the 100th anniversary of the NFL, and this is the last thing the guys at Park Avenue and Roger Goodell want to be dealing with because it's Antonio Brown. And this stuff is really sordid, the stuff that's out there in these emails.
It is. I mean, you listen, we're going to still celebrate the 100th year, and we're going to have a lot of fun when these games are on. But
he's hijacking the season right now.
But this shouldn't be the number one story. And right now, ironically, that is the case. I mean, there are some other great stories around the league that we should be talking about, like Lamar Jackson, for example. I mean, who came off a great week one, 5 touchdowns. And
here, the greatest Monday night game we've seen in a while
in
between
a while.
The Texans and the Saints. I'm with you.
We're talking about this. But the reason why we're talking about it is because Antonio Brown, like him or not, is a star in the National Football League. And now with all the stuff that's transpired with the Raiders and how that went down and how he got himself up out of there to go to New England and everybody kind of laughed over the weekend. Oh, this is great. Oh, he's free. Okay, then this comes out. So we will see where this goes.
It's perfect timing by her attorney, by the way.
We'll see where he goes,
man. You know
who
the Patriots play this week?
Who?
Miami.
Oh, jeez. All right, it is Dukes and Bell. It's our strong arm story of the day. The other big story is the Braves. And, you know, last night we didn't get a great start from Max Fried.
Woofa.
But I'm not going to hold that against the kid. I mean, listen, he's been money all season long. I still throw him in a game one potentially. As a matter of fact, we asked Dale Murphy that today as I asked him who does he trust right now on this pitching staff as far as, you know, who would you throw? And he said, I'd still throw Max Fried.
Right.
Last night, Mike, an aberration. I'm not going to hold it. This guy has pitched so well for us all season long.
And if you've been watching Max Fried, what made that last start of his so important is, you know, he's struggled maybe around the third time that the lineup would see him. He seems to struggle and the runs come out in the fifth and the sixth inning. And the last outing was fantastic. This time, they just jump all over him. Whatever they saw, whatever they were looking for, they got it. Three home runs, including a two-run job. So it's 4 runs you're down. The good news is the Braves battle right back. And then, unfortunately, we had one of the crazy plays of this season where Ronald Acuna looks like he robs a home run only to not bring the ball down. And look, as great as Ronald is, you got a super fast guy. As Kingery's making his way around the base paths, he's got to get the ball back in the infield, Carl.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Dale Murphy talked about that too, grabbing it with your glove, trying to describe to, you know, the average fan what should have happened there with Ronald Acuna and that play. Either way, we lose 6-5. We had a chance to come back, and we did tie the score. But I still think this is about what we're going to do in the postseason. And as we've talked about today, the decision is very simple. As the countdown is on, the magic number is now 9. What do you do? Do you rest guys? Do you continue to play guys? Do you continue to get guys at bats as we head towards the postseason? because that's the decision Brian Snicker is going to have to make.
But the good news is, you know, Folti, you know, whether you think Folti's finally out of the woods and he's got his confidence back, they had won his last nine, I think now 10 starts. The Braves had won the previous last nine games that Max Fried had started. So to Carl's point, I think, as Tom Glavine talks about it too, you're going to have a stinker over the course of, 30 starts in the bigs. So just write it off. Nothing to read here. And the good news is the Twins were beating the Nationals, so the magic number gets into single digits.
Yeah, man. Good timing for us. I still think we're playing our best baseball. I think some people might say we're peaking too soon. I don't feel that way. Not with all the contributions that we're getting from a variety of guys in this lineup.
Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Donaldson, Joyce. So no rest for Acuna, Freeman, or Donaldson. We talked about that with Dale Murphy. Camargo, Flowers, Swanson, and Dallas Keuchel on the bump. Good news, by the way, our Greek freak, Nick Markakis in the cages. Everybody watching to see how his wrist is healing, but he was taking batting practice. Could be ready to go by Friday.
Yeah, man. Coming up, you'll hear from Dan Quinn, our interview with Dan Quinn. That's our morning show. John Freaky, Hugh Douglas, coming up at 6:20. But next, it's Mike Conte with In Case You Missed It on Dukes and Bell. All right, I'm going to tell you what Mike has found, and I don't know if it's good or bad. That's coming up. Stay right there.
Is it
Mike,
annoying you?
Maybe. Mike Conte is here, though, with In Case You Missed It.
I just don't know how a breach of the typically locked door could occur.
All right. No,
you save it.
We're going to save that.
We'll save it.
Because he's just in here. He's insane right now. I'm talking about Mike Bell, not you.
No, I know.
Before we go any further, because you're a big NBA guy. I am, too. What's going on with Team USA,
Listen, everyone's saying, oh, this is embarrassing. They should be embarrassed that they lost to France. To be honest with you, you look at the French roster and the American roster for this tournament, France is pretty good. They got Rudy Gobert, Evan Fournier, Frank Ntilikina. I mean, come on.
Hey, when you bring Frank Ntilikina, my friend.
I mean, You got Frank Ntilikina outplaying the U.S. team. I mean, look.
Frenchie.
I'm joking about Frank Ntilikina, but I am being serious. Like, this is not the French team that Vince Carter – remember he that Daniel Tice guy that he hurdled, the 8-foot-tall guy in the Olympics back in 2000. It's a better French team. I believe the USA is still qualified for the Olympics. No one wanted to play on this team.
Right.
Other than John Collins and Trae Young, they wouldn't tank him.
It's true.
So I'm not saying I'm happy to see the USA lose, but next time, you know, if there are good players that want to play on your team, let them play for you. That's all.
I agree.
It is probably the kind of game we are going to talk about in 20 years, said French Senator Rudy Gobert. Not that he sounds like that.
No, and he does not sound like that.
Sounds like every French guy.
Yeah, but you know what I say to you? Your basketball is a poo.
He's not Pepe Le Pew.
I say to you, Popovich, you are so round, so fully packed. By the way, you couldn't even have Pepe Le Pew these days, Mike. He's like sexually harassing every cat he
Cyrano came across. De Bergerac over here, Pepe Le Pew. Anyhow.
I just wanted to ask you about that.
I don't think it's this huge humiliation.
Humiliation is complete, Mike Conte. Yeah.
It is in case you missed it. All what right. else is going on, Mike?
All right, so that's one tired ethnic stereotype. Let's go to another.
Yes, please. Let us move on. LA.
Excuse me. All right. So at the University of Alabama, and you know, look, I know we have a lot of Crimson Tide alumni here, and,
You're darn right. I'm listening to y'all on the Philco right now.
Our signal can be heard in many parts of the great state of Alabama. So we're going to have fun with this. This is not an indictment of Alabama's state culture. At the University of Alabama last week, someone is leading a class, IBA 455. I think that is an international business class. I don't know for sure what IBA stands for. I'm going to assume that's what it is. And one of the kids in the classroom in the middle of the lecture reaches into his book bag, pulls out a can of Michelob Ultra, walks over to the garbage can, takes a key, pops the can, and shotguns the beer in the middle of the lecture.
Yeah, come on.
The instructor, according to a report in the Crimson White, which is the student newspaper at the University of Alabama, notices this occurring in a mid-lecture, stops and goes, "You good?" And the kid in the classroom, who, by the way, was not even an Alabama student.
Oh, my goodness. Just wandered in?
That's just the funniest wandered part. In. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Talk about what is this? Fast Times? Spicoli, are you in my class? I am today.
I apparently. So, the instructor goes, "You good?" And the kid goes, "Oh, yeah, keep going. You're good." And the instructor goes, "All right, yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it." He completes the shotgunning of the beer. The kid throws the can away. And the instructor goes, "I'm impressed. I love it." And then returns to his lecture. The University of Alabama has suspended the instructor.
Oh! It's not his fault. If a kid's going to cause a ruckus, you make it 10 times worse by,
acknowledging
it. Yeah, you just get on with it. The guy's got entertainment, they got on with it.
This is a very popular instructor. The video of the whole incident is circulating online. This is a very popular instructor. He has very good ratings on ratemyprofessors.com. Thank goodness that did not exist when I was in college.
I was going to say, I agree.
Thank goodness.
I agree.
This guy is an arrogant gas bag, is probably going to be my review of
it. Oh, the kid's got a headband and everything. You see the video
of
this,
Mike? No. Oh, yeah, no, he went full Alabama on this. Like we said, we're reinforcing tired stereotypes today, in case you missed it. So they suspend
Roll
the instructor.
Damn time.
Right. They suspend the instructor. You're probably going to find this a little hard to believe. He's a very highly rated instructor, and his difficulty rating is very low. I wonder if that goes hand in hand.
Popular class.
Trip
Starkey, by the way, is the name of the kid.
Yeah. The kid's name is Trip Starkey?
A junior majoring in management, was enrolled in a different class and arrived at the lecture.
No, that's not the kid who did it. Please do not slander the young Trip Starkey.
Trip
Starkey was
the
witness.
Okay.
Trip Starkey
was the witness. Mike, time out. It's called proofreading, and you know I never do it. Back to you.
The guy who actually did the shotgunning was identified as Trevor Napier, who was a student at Illinois State University.
What's the hell is he doing?
What's he doing at Tuscaloosa? Maybe setting a trap for this professor. I don't know.
I can't.
So now a petition is being circulated among the student body in Alabama trying to get this instructor reinstated. But the head of the marketing department had to go to each section of this guy's class to explain why they now have a new instructor with a new syllabus and everything like that.
Right.
The students in the class are petitioning now to be able to withdraw from the class without penalty.
Yeah, I want to withdraw.
Right. They're saying that's not the instructor that they signed up for. And all
I would too, Mike Conte. I withdraw.
Well,
I'm reading the article now, Mike. Everybody loves this professor. Maybe it's the easiest class in Alabama.
I'll tell you a quick story. When I was finishing out at Penn State, I was a couple credits shy of graduation. I had to take a few classes the summer of my senior year to graduate. And I'm looking through the course catalog, and all I'm looking for, I need, I think, 6 credits. Just looking for the easiest possible class with the easiest possible instructor. And I find one, and it was like Philosophy 15, and the instructor was a guy I had before, and it was a super easy class. Right. I'm like, awesome. I'm signing up for that. I'll be out of here in 6 weeks. Right. Mail me my degree. It turns out the instructor was the guy's wife, and she was impossible. You ever had one of those college professors that would take roll and give you like attendance quizzes that would count towards your grade and everything? That was her.
Oh.
And I didn't know that it wasn't the guy, it was the woman. I did end up passing
and
graduating.
But it was not easy.
But it was not easy.
As you thought. So at Penn State, and I'm guessing with the student body, because like at Texas, the lecture halls, you might have 500 people in there.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And literally, the professors are like, if you get this, you get it. If you don't, you don't. Like, it's really on you.
Right.
But there are a few who literally did exactly that. Took roll and decided that they wanted to run it like it was high school.
Nightmare. Right. Nightmare. All I wanted to do at Penn State was be one of 40,000. I want to be a nameless face that goes in, maybe misses a few classes here and there, makes all my exams, passes, see ya. Mail me my degree. And that's eventually what ended up happening.
Wow.
But anyhow, I will keep you posted.
Yeah, because I'm curious to see if they get this guy back.
Imagine, like, a guy who doesn't even go to your school walks into the classroom, shotguns a beer, and they're going to get the professor for it.
That's ballsy, Mike.
I read these articles. Everybody loves this professor, so it's kind of like, I mean, whatever he's teaching, these kids are digging it. I'm with Mike Conti. What the heck? That's not right. How'd this kid get on campus, by the way?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, that's a whole nother story.
Maybe he was auditing the class. We don't know.
Hey, man, that's Mike Conti, in case you missed it, guys. Coming up, top three at 6. Dan Quinn's on the way as well. And Atlanta Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcon game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane will preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the Dirty Birds.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.